We all have tasks we'd like to avoid, like mailing and shipping. It takes time lugging all those letters and packages to the post office. That's why you should try Stamps.com. For 25 years, Stamps.com has made mailing and shipping easy. You get all the services of the post office right on your computer, anytime. No traffic, no waiting, no hassle. Plus, you save money with discounts up to 84% on USPS and UPS. With Stamps.com, all you need is a computer and printer. Print stamps, print shipping labels, and if you sell products online, Stamps.com connects with every major marketplace and shopping cart, so you can spend less time on shipping and more time on your business. Get started with Stamps.com today. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. Just go to stamps.com and enter code PROGRAM.
All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We'll chat some football right now with the 2005 NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. Played his pro career with the Chargers and wrapped it up in Buffalo with the Bills. He was a 2-time first-team All-Pro, a 3-time Pro Bowler, and did lead the NFL in sacks in the year of 2006. And now he's running lights out fighting, and that, of course, is Sean Merriman. Sean, always great to have you on. Thank you for the time. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Always appreciate when you come on. You know, I want to start you off with the Chargers because we all know they have a ton of talent. Last year they had a good season, but it was a miserable performance in the postseason, gut-wrenching, big lead, and then they couldn't find a way to get the job done in the second half. You've been a part of something like that. What advice would you give them to try to quickly move off a big loss like that so it doesn't derail their season this year?
You know, for one, man, when you go from one season to the next, you got to kind of forget about it, right? During your whole offseason, you're walking around, you're doing your offseason workouts, you're with your coaches, you're watching some film. You still got it there. But that first day when you walk into training camp, you got to forget about what happened last year. Obviously, they made a bunch of big moves during this offseason. They got some new players. They brought in, I think, is going to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year, and Quentin Johnson. They brought in Kellen Moore, who I believe, in my personal opinion, was the best offseason move as far as coaches during the whole offseason. So this is a different team walking in this year, and you can't look back on what happened last year in the playoffs. You're going to feel bad during the offseason, but that day one of training camp, it's got to be a new team.
There's just some talking points that follow other teams and some big storylines that we always highlight. You mentioned the coaching. Brandon Staley is still there. I was not surprised by that because they made the playoffs, but a lot of people question Brandon Staley's abilities as a head coach. Where's your confidence with him leading the Chargers?
It's still there. It's still there. I mean, look, I was at all the home games and some of the away games, and just like everyone else, you look at a couple calls, whether it's on 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-3, and say, oh, okay, I would have went a different way. But there's no doubt about it in his leadership, right? I think that's why he's still there. He's a great leader. The players like him. He's a player's coach. And one thing that he will do, he will go out and correct his mistakes, and he has been already. But I think the addition of Kellen Moore is going to open the doors. And look, if he doesn't perform, then they probably will make a decision on him after this season. But you know, I think that bringing Kellen Moore in and they being able to open that offense up, expand the playbook, and you know, not having the quote unquote dink and dunk situations they had during the last season, let's see what a team really is after the offseason adjustments are made. But right now, I still have full confidence in Coach Staley.
Injuries are part of the game, but I always wonder at Sean Merriman from the mental side of it, from a player, when a team just gets hits with a lot of injuries like the Chargers did last year, does that affect you just the way that you kind of operate and think going into the next year, or do you just try to move on from that?
You try to move on to it, and you're right. I think that we've seen something unprecedented where you got, you know, 3 or 4 of your biggest stars go down, and not just for a couple games, but, you know, Joey Bosa down, I believe, six weeks. Him and Khalil Mack, I don't think, was on the field at least more than half of the season together. J.C. Jackson go down and Keenan Allen gets hurt. You know, Justin Herbert's ribs early on. I mean, it was unprecedented. Well, I don't think we've seen anything like that. So you can't bank on something that critical happening every year. It's a part of the game. But, man, you got to be excited if you're a Chargers fan walking into this season.
You say you're excited if you're a Chargers fan walking into this season. We know everyone is chasing the Chiefs in the NFL, but even more so the Chargers because they're right in their division. How far do you think they're behind Kansas City right now?
I don't think very far. But one thing I'll say about KC, man, you always got to give them the nod, right? They're the champs. They have proven themselves over and over again. Patrick Mahomes, I looked at him when he came to the league, and I saw him, being on the verge of being great. But he's shown something in this past year and playing through those injuries, not only playing through it, but being, playing well. And not only playing through his injuries, but all of his starters, as his wide receivers go down, this guy finds a way to win. You always have to give them the nod. You know, obviously I'm going to always love my squad and support the Chargers, man, but you can't take anything away from KC, man. They are the truth.
And you know this, the great quarterbacks, they find a way to win with less. And that's what Mahomes did last year, because first year without Tyreek Hill, and they didn't miss a beat, they ended up winning a Super Bowl, which is just ridiculous.
No, it's just past ridiculous, man. I mean, look, you lose a guy like Tyreek Hill, you automatically started to think, we're going to have a dent in his offense. We're going to miss a deep ball threat. We're going to miss somebody who can be explosive and make plays. And you look at what Patrick Mahomes did when his whole starting lineup goes down. And not only that, he's running around on a bum foot, bum ankle. And he's trying to go out there and play well. I mean, at this point, you can't bet against him. It reminds me very much so when I used to play Tom Brady back in the day, and I don't care who he had, he was throwing the ball to or running the ball to or how much he was down in the fourth quarter, he just always has a chance. And we're talking about great quarterbacks. Now you got to start mentioning Patrick Mahomes as an all-time great.
We're at the point where the conversation isn't how do you stop him, it's just how do you contain him to give your team a chance to win. If you were in that Chargers locker room, how would you kind of game plan going up against Mahomes?
Well, I would say this, and I used to say this before I broke down the huddle before every game. I said, I don't give a damn how great a quarterback is. It's going to be hard for him to throw the ball from his back, right?
So I love that.
you have to hit these guys. If you don't, they're going to just shred you apart. At some point in time, they're going to have a breakout quarter or a breakout half. I don't care how they look at the rest of the game, but you have to get enough hits on him where he starts making decisions that is against what he really wants to do. That's the only way to stop any guys like Patrick Mahomes. If you're waiting for him to make a mistake, it's just not going to happen.
So there's this docuseries that's coming out. They followed the three quarterbacks last year. One of them was Patrick Mahomes. And I saw a little clip, Sean Merriman, that they released today. And it was an interaction that Max Crosby and Mahomes had. And Mahomes like took it to a different level with smack talk because he was getting into it when Crosby got up into his face. I always wondered this. Because you always brought it, and you weren't afraid to celebrate. You weren't afraid to talk smack. That's part of the game. But when you know that there's like an all-time great on the other side, did you maybe say, okay, I'll tone it down and not say something that's really going to set him off?
No, not at all. I did the opposite. I was never really a big talker. I didn't really talk to a lot of guys. I mean, sometimes if they talk back to me, I did, but you're right, man. I mean, look, you're not scared of anybody, but the last thing you want to do is get Tom Brady fired up before the game or get a Peyton Manning or Ben Roethlisberger, those guys I played against, fired up before the game. And when you talk about trash talk, man, I played with Phillip Rivers, right?
Yeah.
So, the king of trash talk, and he's another one. You get him fired up in practice, and he'll start to pick you apart.
Is that actually true, though, with Phillip Rivers, that he never cursed, that he would always trash talk and it would be clean?
Not one time. There was one particular time that I thought that he was going to curse in practice. We were kicking their butt. They couldn't move the ball. Antonio Cromartie had an interception, and Quentin Jammer had one right after that. I backed down the ball, and I just thought that he was going to curse one time, right, just once. And he didn't. And I said, if he didn't curse then, he's never going to curse. So I still haven't heard it, but he still is the king of trash talk.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure you're going to say that you believe Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback. I do. A lot of people, though, don't think he should one day get that call to the Hall. What do you say to kind of make the case for Phillip Rivers?
Well, for one, let me step out the way because I know him personally. I obviously played with him. I'm going to be a little bit biased. But let me step out the way and just talk strictly numbers. If you look at the guys that's in the Hall of Fame with those numbers, even the ones who don't have Super Bowls and they're up there, what's the difference? Right. And if people want to say that he's not a first ballot, I can be okay with that. Right. I can say, he may not be. But if you say that Phillip Rivers is not a Hall of Famer at all, then it just doesn't make any sense because the numbers say otherwise.
Let me get to other teams inside the AFC West. Then we'll talk about Lights Out Fighting, which does have another card coming up on August 26th. The Broncos, all eyes are on them this year. We know year one for Russell Wilson out there at Mile High was a disaster. Nathaniel Hackett out. In comes Sean Payton. How much of an improvement do you think we'll see from Denver?
I think they're going to make an immediate improvement. You know, I know Sean Payton very well. I've been friends with him for years. Not only is he a great coach, but he's a great leader. And, you know, one of the things that always stand out about me, about him to me, is his ability to come in and gain respect because of who he is and what he's done in the National Football League. I mean, that the first day he gets in there, he's saying, you know, about Russell Wilson having his own trainers in the building. He comes in. He can do that because he has enough respect in the locker room and that front office to do that. And let me tell you, that division, AFC West, just got a lot tougher because Sean Payton is there. And we're going to find out relatively quickly if Russell Wilson had a down year or if he just physically done, right? And that's yet to be determined. You know, I think that he's still got some gas left. He can still go out and get it done. But the way he looked last year didn't look like Russell Wilson. We watched him in his whole career. But let's see if Sean Payton can come in and change that.
Let me get to the Raiders. We know McDaniels is a great offensive coordinator. He's been a bad head coach. They get rid of Waller this offseason. They haven't figured out the contract with Josh Jacobs. They say goodbye to Derek Carr. And they bring in Jimmy G, which is underwhelming. Are the Raiders just a mess and it's going to be a disaster this year? Or do you see some hope for that squad?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate, right? Because I think you talked about a guy who I admire, love his game, and Max Crosby. You know, Josh Jacobs is a staple of that offense, right? He is. And without them running the ball the way he has, they don't have a chance in hell in many different areas. You know, Derek Carr leaves, by the way. I don't think that Derek Carr is as bad as they made him be on the way out. I do think he's had some great seasons in the NFL. But look, Jimmy G is in there for a reason, right? And let's see what he's able to do. First of all, he has to stay healthy. If Jimmy G doesn't stay healthy this year, they are going to be a mess, in my personal opinion, as far as that team.
So you wrapped up your career in Buffalo from 2010 to 2012. How do you look back at that experience playing in Buffalo?
It was the best experience I had in my life. You know, initially, but I was very vocal about it, that I didn't want to go there. And not because it was Buffalo, it's just that at the time they wasn't a very good team on paper. And being able to play in Buffalo for those couple of years was the best thing that's ever happened to me in my sports career because they have the best fan base, in my opinion, in all of football. And there's no place playing like Buffalo. And to see them now with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and that team and all these new pickups they have winning games, there's nothing like winning football in that city because it's a different atmosphere.
They've been so close, and like you said, the Bills fans, they deserve this. They are great fans. They've been so close, you just wonder, when you get so close, will you be able to get over the hump? Do you think this will be their year where they can go hoist that Lombardi trophy?
I do. But this is the thing, and we talked about this early on. The AFC has just gotten so tough, right? So even, yes, they are a much better team. It is their time to get over the hump. The problem is now we're talking about a Justin Herbert, you know, this in that division, a Patrick Mahomes, Burrow, you know, just you got six quarterbacks, in my opinion, that you got to go through in order to raise that trophy. And that is, and I've been in this situation before where teams have just gotten better in your division. Team Miami's gotten better, right? I mean, Miami's gotten a lot better. They got a new coach, new players. And so just that path to get there, to raise that trophy, is a lot tougher. But you're right. It's their time to get over that hump.
Last thing I'll ask you before we talk about lights out fighting. When you look at a defensive player in this league, it's so tough now with the way that the rules and the penalties and the flags are called and all these quarterbacks now, for the most part, have an ability to run the ball as well. Are you kind of happy you don't play linebacker anymore in the NFL?
Well, well, yeah, because I would have been playing for free, right? All the fines are all the racked up. You know, it's one of those things. I'm glad that NFL changed the game and made it a lot safer for people, for the players. But also, too, it's still football. And it's the reason why this country loves the game so much, because we love the brutality of it. We love these guys going out and getting after it. So you cross a fine line between making it safe and making it uncomfortable for people who just love the game. And so, yeah, I see some of these penalties, these quarterback hits, you know, that's really light. And I say, you know what? I would have just went right upstairs to the front office and handed my check right over, because I know that I wouldn't have been able to play at this time. But it's still football. I still love the game. I still look, when I look at these pass rushers now, man, and these one-on-one matchups, it's so hard sometimes to be a fan to step away from it, because I'm watching guys' hand placement, watching how they take off in the football and the way they turn the corner. I'm still a fan of the game, but it's hard, man, stepping away from that, because I love watching these guys so much.
Sean Merriman, tell me what you got cooking with Lights Out Fighting.
Yeah, we got a huge fight coming up at Palma Casino August 26th at 7 p.m. Pacific. It will be live on Fubo TV, Fubo Sports. If you guys don't have Fubo, get it. This is our biggest card. It's my first time actually having an event in San Diego since I retired, and we're announcing it this week in a fight card. We got 16 fights lined up. So if you guys don't have Fubo, get it August 26th at Palma Casino.
You going to be doing the Lights Out dance?
Yeah, I will, actually. You know, once it's over. So, you know, those 4 hours of live TV, man, I'm biting my fingernails, but I'll give everybody a Lights Out dance at the end of the fight.
How did you come up with that? Because still to this day, I remember that as one of the great celebrations for a defensive player.
You know, so I got a light switch on my right forearm, and I don't know if anybody ever knew that, but when I got the light switch, a tattoo, I was pretending to flick the switch on and off doing big hits in sacks. And so I started that when I got in college. Obviously, I couldn't follow through and do the full dance in college, because it was, you know, we'll get a flag. But when I got to the NFL, man, and people really started to like it, and it became a thing, right? I mean, I would travel all over the country, and people would be doing it no matter where I were. And I just love the game, and it brought a lot of excitement to people, and they, you know, kind of sit back and watch and sometimes even did it themselves.
That's great. Well, continued success once again with Lights Out Fighting, and always appreciate when you give us a few minutes, Sean Merriman.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Sean Merriman, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show. We'll take a break. When we come on back, 5 bounce back stories to monitor for this upcoming year of college football.
For 25 years, Stamps.com has made mailing and shipping easy. All you need is a computer and printer. Imagine mailing and shipping right from your desk, anytime. No traffic, no waiting, no hassle. Plus, Stamps.com gives you discounts up to 84%. Sign up for Stamps.com today. Use code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So I want to get into this right now. I'm not saying all these people will bounce back, but I do think these are 5 stories to kind of monitor for this upcoming year when you look at college football, of people that have had a problem doing one thing or recently have struggled somewhere, and just are they going to be able to bounce back? We'll start with DJ Uiagalelei, who, Chris Hess, I didn't know this, and I saw this the last night, that DJ Uiagalelei got drafted by the Los Angeles Dodgers?
Yes, he did.
And that was in the 20th round?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see some things on Twitter, and it's not the first time, right, a player is supposed to be a star in football and gets drafted, you know, in baseball. We kind of saw it with Kyler Murray, obviously, being a top 10, or maybe he was just outside the top 10, with the Athletics when he got drafted, and we all know he eventually got drafted number 1 overall with the Arizona Cardinals. But for DJ Uiagalelei, he was supposed to be the guy at Clemson. And we all remember it was when Trevor Lawrence got COVID, and he played up against Notre Dame and played well. And we were all expecting DJ Uiagalelei. You say that name so many times, and then you try to transition from another word, and you said a little tongue twister. But you look at DJ Uiagalelei, he's no longer at Clemson. And last year, he was very underwhelming. The year before that, he was really awful. And you ran out of excuses because, yeah, you get on Dabo and the old offensive coordinator, Tony Elliott. And then you look at the lack of offensive line and some of the poor creativity. But the last 2 years, he just wasn't good. And now he goes to Oregon State, where there's not a lot of pressure. But I want to see if DJ Uiagalelei can be that guy, not necessarily that we thought he was, but somewhat resemble where he once was thought to be in the landscape of college football. Next up, it's 2 guys that are linked together forever, but they're at different spots now. I know Clemson just won an ACC championship, but they missed out on getting in the college football playoff. The standard for Clemson, going from DJ Uiagalelei conversation, ironically, is get to the college football playoff. And for a while, right, they were winning national championships. But for Dabo Sweeney, are you just going to have a team that could win an ACC that is not that great? Like, you look at the ACC this year, it's very vanilla. You know, I know that you have Drake May at UNC. You know, Florida State's a team that is talked about a lot. And I like their head football coach, even going back to his days at Memphis and Mike Norvell. And they started to put it together last year. But if you win the ACC, it's not as if you're guaranteed a spot in the college football playoff. And here's the thing for Clemson. And I said this to Isaiah Simmons, where I told him, do you think university is close to getting back? He's like, what do you mean getting back? They just won the ACC. And I go, yeah, but that's not the standard for Clemson. The standard for Clemson is to be going on out there, winning the ACC and getting back to the college football playoff. And you look at Clemson this upcoming season, I don't know what they're going to be able to do, but you look at what they did last year. You know, they lost that game to Notre Dame, and then they got themselves back in it. Not that they were, like, great. Like, they beat Louisville and Miami. But going into that South Carolina game, which they lost, if they would have won that game, they're probably in the college football playoff. But since they lost that second game, that took them out of it, because a two-loss conference champ in the ACC isn't anything that you're throwing a parade for. But your one-loss ACC conference champ, I don't think Ohio State, who did not win a Big Ten championship, gets in. But all those teams last year in college football for that final spot were like there and then threw up on themselves. And that what happened with Clemson. You look at the Clemson schedule for this year. I played Duke to open up the season. Charleston Southern. You have Florida Atlantic. Florida State, big game. Syracuse, Wake Forest. Sam Hartman's no longer there. Miami, Mario Cristobal did not do good in year one. NC State. You got Notre Dame, who I like, with Marcus Freeman. And now they have Sam Hartman. Georgia Tech. And then at the end of the year, back-to-back two good games to end the season. In UNC with Drake May. And then you do have South Carolina, who Shane Beamer has brought a lot of energy to the Gamecocks and has done a good job. So let's see if Clemson can be a one-loss ACC champ and get back to the college football playoff. And the other one here that I grouped them together for five bounce-back stories to monitor in college football, one of them being DJ Uiagalelei. When I get to two, it's Dabo, and then it's also his longtime defensive coordinator, who's now the head coach at Oklahoma, in Brent Venables. Because forever, it was, oh, Brent Venables is a different guy. He's happy being the vice president to Dabo Sweeney. He doesn't need to leave. He'll do that job for the rest of his life. And then the Oklahoma job that he has a familiarity with and has been there before, it's a head coaching job. Oh, he takes the job, right? And year one, there was expectations for them to maybe go to a college football playoff. There was expectations for them to win the Big 12 once again. And year one was an absolute disaster. All right, next up, bounce back storyline to monitor in college football. It's Texas. Texas is a massive story this year for college football. And I'm really pulling for Texas this year. I don't love that they're going with Quinn Ewers, but that's not a knock on Quinn Ewers. It's just because how much people have talked about Arch Manning. And Arch Manning right now is the third quarterback on that depth chart with Murphy in at number two. But Quinn Ewers won the job. Credit him. Hey, he was rolling in that game up against Alabama, unfortunately, until he got hurt. And they finished up the season strong. This is a huge year for college football with Texas Longhorns. Because you look at the Big 12, they're supposed to win this conference. Now, doesn't mean you're a lock, right? Last year, TCU came out of nowhere. They didn't even win the Big 12. It ended up being Chris Klieman's squad with Kansas State. And there's a few other schools that will be mentioned and that will be talked about. But for Texas, this is the first time in a while where there's buzz, and the buzz is actually warranted and should be justified. Next one, we'll go to, we have two more options here. Five bounce back stories to monitor in college football. It's Ryan Day against Michigan. And I worded that very particular. Ryan Day has not lost a lot of games at Ohio State. But the last 2 years, Ohio State has lost their way, where they have not only lost to Michigan twice, and Michigan has gone to the college football playoff twice and has won the Big Ten championship twice, but Michigan has annihilated them in back-to-back years. And this Michigan team returns McCarthy, returns Blake Corum, Corum who had a chance to go in a Heisman last year and then unfortunately got hurt. And you had Donovan Edwards ball out. He's back. We've seen the way that they've been able to fix that defense, just pump out talent to the NFL the last 2 years. This is a big moment for Ryan Day at Ohio State, because if Ryan Day ever got fired, there'd be schools lining up to hire him. But at Ohio State, it's about where you are. And for Ryan Day, I think there's a big portion of that fan base where the standard is beat Michigan, beat Michigan, beat Michigan, that they're fed up with what happened the last 2 years because how easy Urban Meyer made it look. And you think about it with Ohio State, they lost to Michigan last year, backed their way into the college football playoff, and then you could argue played Georgia as well as anybody did in the country this past year, actually did. And if it wasn't for the kicker missing the kick at midnight, which is still one of the craziest endings of college football season for a team I've ever seen, 3-2-1, the kick is up, and it's no good. Happy New Year to everybody but the kicker and on the Ohio State football team. If you lose three in a row to Michigan, though, I think those cries that you're hearing right now and the calls maybe for fans being upset and to get Ryan Day out, even though he hasn't lost a lot of football games, they're going to get louder if you lose to Michigan 3 years in a row because of how much of a disparity there was with Michigan and Ohio State for all those years. And then finally, this last one, I don't think you're going to like Chris Hess, but bounce back storylines to monitor. James Franklin coming off a Rose Bowl victory, which is one of the lowest rated Rose Bowls ever, and not winning a Big Ten championship last year and only winning one Big Ten championship during his time at Penn State and not going to the college football playoff. It's James Franklin up against top 10 teams, because we went through that Penn State schedule earlier. Outside of Ohio State and Michigan, and if you're a top dog, you got to beat one of them. This is a weak, and I mean a really weak schedule for Penn State. West Virginia, Delaware, Illinois, Iowa, Northwestern, UMass, Ohio State, Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, Rutgers, Michigan State. You should be able, with how much talent they have, to split Ohio State, Michigan, and only have one loss in the season. And for James Franklin, his biggest problem, he's a great recruiter, not a great coach. And there's a difference there. But the Nittany Lions are 3-15 against top 10 teams during James Franklin's time at Happy Valley, and 1-10 against top 5 teams. This is a big, 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 big year for James Franklin. So, top 5 bounce back storylines to monitor in college football: DJ Uiagalelei, James Franklin, Brent Venables and Dabo Swinney, Texas, and Ryan Day up against Michigan. And I'll give you one more. And you know what? I'm actually going to make this the top 6 stories to monitor in college football. And if I was to rank them, this actually may be number 1. It's Alabama. Alabama, the last 2 years, lost in a national championship game, if you recall. And Nick Saban afterwards was very appreciative of Will Anderson Jr. and Bryce Young because he knew that team wasn't that great and they still got to a national championship and won an SEC championship. Remember, that was the year Georgia won that title to start back-to-back and they lost that SEC title game. It was like, oh, Kirby Smart just can't get the job done against Bama, and then changed that a few weeks later. But then coming off that year, it was supposed to be Alabama's going to be great. And last year, outside of Will Anderson and Bryce Young and Jahmyr Gibbs, this Alabama football team did not give you a lot to write home about, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You know, defensively, they always have talent. But offensively, they were missing a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball outside of Young and Gibbs. Last year, even though Saban's going to tell you, we'd be the underdog against most of these teams in the college football, the favorite against most of these teams in the college football playoff anyway, doesn't matter. You lost 2 games that you were favored in. And you did not deserve, you usually get the benefit of the doubt as you should, but you did not deserve to go to the college football playoff. Now let's see, with a lot of parity in the sport, with people wondering, can Georgia go back to back to back? Can Michigan, they get in, but can they actually go to a national championship game and win it all? Will Ohio State bounce back? Will Texas be back? Clemson get back into the picture of the college football playoff? With all these questions, there's a lot of uncertainty in college football. And what I'm still certain about is Nick Saban. I can't say right now he's the best coach in college football. From a legacy standpoint, obviously. But Kirby Smart has his number right now and how that has turned the last 2 years. But outside of Kirby Smart, there's not a better coach in college football right now. And that's debatable even with Kirby Smart, with me putting him in at number one currently. But for Nick Saban this year, with how open it is, I know the SEC is going to be ridiculous when you look at Georgia still being elite. I think LSU is going to have another wonderful season with Brian Kelly. And you have Alabama in there, and who could be that 14 that does emerge? We're going to see if Alabama can return and bounce back to the college football playoff after missing out on not only going to the college football playoff last year, but also the SEC title game, as that was a matchup between Georgia, and then you also had LSU with Brian Kelly in year one getting to the title game. So those are five bounce back storylines. Well, six when you throw in Alabama, and they'll be the number one to monitor in college football for this upcoming season. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We will take a break. We'll come on back, and we'll update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief. But first up, with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, here he is, Wisconsin's finest, wearing that Wisco shirt, even though he never attended the university. Have you ever been to Wisconsin?
No, I'd love to go, though.
Oh.
I'd love to see a hockey game there, too.
I'm surprised you haven't gone with your dear friend Kenny Albert to Camp Randall. Oh, well,
no.
He probably hasn't been to a Wisconsin football game in a long time.
No.
Because he's got to call all the games.
Exactly.
He can't take one day off, Kenny Albert?
No, not in the NFL.
Why not?
Your coach, Bill Belichick, no days off.
I know, but he's Kenny Albert. He's the number one voice for hockey right now.
Won't do it. Nope.
Football, he's in, what is he, like the number two booth, I think it is, for Fox?
I'm not sure.
Or whatever. Pretty high up there to begin with. He's been there forever. Hey, Kenny, in a September, you say, I'm not going to go?
Goes against the broadcasting fiber.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Remember when Kenny Albert... Well, of course you remember it because it's Ack's best friend. But I remember the year the Rangers went to the Cup Final.
Yep.
The Western Conference Final, which he was calling on TV, it was L.A.-Chicago?
Yes.
And he was going from New York to L.A., then back to New York, then out to Chicago, then
I still remember
back to Montreal, and then to L.A. It was crazy.
Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, the Rangers played a night game Sunday night. And he had a red eye out to L.A., and he was at King's practice, 11 a.m. Pacific time the next morning. And Ray Ferraro looked at him, and he said, didn't you just do the game last night?
He's a zombie. He doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
He can sleep
anywhere, so that's a very big plus.
I'm going to make a suggestion for Kenny, all right? I'm going to be his, like, publicist here.
Okay. He's got a book coming out.
That is true.
Yeah.
Saturday, October 28th, he's got to be at Camp Randall. I'm assuming it's not a neutral site game.
Okay.
Going up against Ohio State. That's a big time. I'm like telling them not to go out there for like Rutgers or for like Georgia Southern or Buffalo.
Luke Fickell against his alma mater.
Oh, yeah, that'd be pretty damn cool.
It's not bad. Maybe I'll just go in his place.
You know what? Screw that. You know, we're pushing Kenny to the curb. Act, I'll pay for the hotel. I'll even get you your own room. We don't have to split rooms. I'll pay for dinner. Just get us the tickets and some sideline passes.
Okay.
And we can jump around with everybody.
There you go.
Bunch of spotted cows. Road tripping with Act. We'll even bring Hickey so we get someone to go run and get us our beers and then bring him back and get some french fries for Act 2 and some cheese curds.
There you go.
We'll put Hickey to work. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, News Brief next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Time to update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Let's get rocking and rolling to a news brief.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
We will hear from Zion Williamson, who was on the Gil's Arena podcast. That's Gilbert Arenas' podcast. And we played you one cut from yesterday, but here's a new one. Zion Williamson saying that he's listening to the right people now and blocking out the noise.
At the end of the day, people going to get their opinions. And what I can say is I do respect brutal honesty. I'd rather somebody be brutally honest with me than try to sugarcoat it, because at the end of the day, if they're honest with me, I know what I need to do to fix it.
So there you go with Zion Williamson trusting, I guess, different people are actually finally starting to listening to them from what he said. Let's go to Philadelphia. This was awkward. The Flyers were introducing a new player that I guess they signed. And when a media member was asking a question, you had this exchange with a reporter, the player, and then a PR person, I gather, who was caught saying something about the question that was being asked.
Hey, Garrett, I was just wondering, as a veteran with a relatively successful NHL career, what makes the Flyers, who are in a rebuild state, a destination that was designed?
How many times is she going to ask this question?
Yeah, there's really a lot of things I can learn to it. When I look at it, it's an organization that...
Wait. So I read that yesterday, and the new president of the Flyers, Keith Jones, I actually interned for when he was working at Sports Radio 94 WIP, and I know Jonesy very well. And the Flyers have to change the way that they're viewed, and I think Jonesy is the right guy for that. And now Danny Briere is also running that team. But you're bringing in this new regime, and you have a player getting introduced, and you have a PR person, I'm assuming that is, saying, how many times is this person going to bleep and answer this question? Like, what a loser that person is. And you get caught on a hot mic? Like, you're a moron. Do me a favor, Chris. Because I got to hear the question again. Play me that from the beginning one more time.
Hey, Garrett. I was just wondering, as a veteran with a relatively successful NHL career, what makes the Flyers, who are in a rebuild state, a destination that was designed?
How many times is she going to ask this question?
When I look at it, it's an organization.
So the PR person basically gets mad because you're in a rebuilding stage. What makes them attractive? So you're basically saying, hey, the team sucks. What makes them attractive? It's amazing how sensitive public relations people are, and then also athletes these days. Like, what's wrong with that question? You know, it's the same thing with me and Deebo Samuel. What happened? Deebo got annoyed because I was asking him questions about things that he said. And then all these people out there are like, oh, you treated him disrespectfully, blah, 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 blah. No, I didn't. Like, I was up with Channing Crowder today in Miami, and he said, you asked him questions based on things he said, and you were polite about it. It's amazing. Like, you can't ask a question anymore that is deemed somewhat challenging or isn't something where you're massaging the athlete. Oh, such a joke. Let's hear from Barry Bonds. He says he feels vindicated from the whole performance-enhancing drug scandal. This was courtesy of Hollywood Swinging Podcast.
I was vindicated. I went to the court. I was in federal court, and I won my case 100%. Where is the vindication of me in my own sport? That's what bothers me.
So here's the thing. We all know Barry Bonds cheated. He could sell it however he wants and talk about the court case and all that. You cheated. But you should still be in the Hall of Fame. And I've said that now for years. That was such a big era of my life, those players in Major League Baseball. And it's like the writers, they try to tell you that it never existed. And they try to tell you, oh, they don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame because they cheated. And there's just so much... It's really... a process now that they start to select which guys that use do they want in. Like, John Heyman once didn't vote. He didn't vote for Mike Piazza ever because he thought Mike Piazza used or he didn't know. And then the first time Ivan Rodriguez was on the ballot, he was like, yeah, I'm voting for Pudge. And who Pudge was on the record saying, he was once asked, did you ever use performance-enhancing drugs? He said, only God knows the answer to that. And David Ortiz gets in right away because he deserves to get in. But there's a pass with David Ortiz, but people like David Ortiz. You know, Barry Bonds is a jerk. Roger Clemens is a jerk. But just because you're a jerk and you cheated doesn't mean that you don't belong in the Hall of Fame. When I think of Barry Bonds, the first thing I think of, I can only speak for myself, is great player. I think of Roger Clemens, and I can't stand Roger Clemens. I'm a Mike Piazza guy. I hate Roger Clemens. But he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Let's hear Mark Cuban discuss the new NBA in-season tournament and how he's actually a fan of it. Surprise, surprise, a governor, owner, whatever they call these people these days. This is on SiriusXM NBA Radio.
Initially, I was out on it, but the more I thought of it, there's no downside. Yep. There's absolutely no downside. And my son Jake is here, and he's like, you know, oh, we got a bad draw, you know, da-da-da. You know, yep. It means he's thinking about it. And if it gets kids excited, it gets whoever excited. And there's, again, it's just a regular season game unless you win it.
So he's not wrong. It's just a regular season game. Unless you win it, then you get extra games on your schedule, one extra game at most.
but it's pointless. Because is anyone going to really, that's a star player, say, yeah, for an extra $500,000, I'll go out for the duration of this tournament? So give me a break there. It's ridiculous with how much these NBA players are paid that we now need to pay them even more, incentivize them even more, or threaten to take away awards if they don't play 65 games. You guys make so much money. Show up during your regular season. We don't need this stupid in-season tournament. Here's Patrick Mahomes on the Netflix The Quarterback special, where they followed Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and Marcus Mariota throughout the entire season. Here's Patty Mahomes talking about playing the Bengals and how he wanted to play the Bengals after beating the Jags last season in the playoffs over the Bills.
I think the Bengals are better, but I think with all those injuries on the O-line that the Bills have a chance.
Who would you rather play?
I think we match up better versus the Bills, but I want to play the Bengals.
Yeah.
I mean, just honestly. I mean, I just want to play them. We haven't beat them. I'm tired of them talking.
I like that. Adds into the bad blood between those two teams. He was just tired of hearing them talking. And finally, leave Britney alone. But this was Britney Spears responding to everything that did go on last week between her and Victor Wembanyama, where she was reportedly slapped in the face, and then we saw the video, and it looked like the security guard just slapped her hand out of the way, and then her own hand hit her face. It seemed like a really nothing thing happened, even though the security guard probably should not have swiped at Britney Spears. But here's Britney Spears on the Wemby situation.
I heard on the news saying that I deserve to be smacked. Security was doing their job and protecting their client. I've been with the most famous people in the world, NSYNC at one time. Girls would like literally throw themselves at them on my way into the place. Actually, I was knocked down by like 3 12-year-olds trying to get my picture. My security not one time touched them or even came near them.
Ooh, there's a lot to unpack right there. And thankfully, I only have about 40 seconds left that I need to stall. But, you know, I don't agree with what the director of team security or the title is with the Spurs did, but this is the biggest non-story ever when you actually see the video. So that's where we're at right now with Britney Spears and Victor Wembanyama as that story starts to fade away. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. And when we do come on back, we will be joined by Ari Temkin from Big 12 Media Days to preview the Big 12.